Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very pleased to be here with you to talk about healing self-abandonment, which I'm sure you all know is a very, very big subject, but one that unfortunately is not talked about very often. And before we go into self-abandonment, what I would like to do is define the term abandonment. What we're going to do in this class is that we're going to talk a lot about what heals self-abandonment, which is what underlies anxiety and depression and addictions and relationship problems. And halfway through the seminar, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to tell you what we have for your support. You don't have to buy anything from us to get great value out of tonight's class, but I just want to let you know what's available. So what is abandonment, which is different than self-abandonment? Now, abandonment, the definition of abandonment is when you leave someone that you're responsible for. And so we're responsible, for example, for children. We're responsible for old people, sick people. But we cannot actually abandon a healthy adult. So when you say, well, I feel abandoned by him or her, that's not what actually is happening. That person can leave you, but they can't abandon you since they're not responsible for you. However, we are responsible for ourselves. And so we can certainly abandon ourselves. And I'm going to talk a bit about how and why did we learn to abandon ourselves. First of all, we learned because our parents, they abandoned themselves. They didn't know how to take loving care of themselves. Most of us had parents who were not connected with their feelings. They didn't know that they were responsible for their feelings. They were not connected with any personal source of spiritual guidance. And they didn't know how to find the loving action for themselves, which we're going to be talking about here. And the other reason that we learned to abandon ourselves is that most of us had a lot of pain as we were growing up. I know I certainly did, and I'm sure most of you on the line had a lot of pain in terms of not being loved in the way that we needed to be loved, or being rejected, or suffering various forms of abuse. But most children do experience a lot of pain as they're growing up. And if there's nobody there to hold you and nurture you and comfort you and understand your pain, it's too big. Little bodies are too big to handle the deep pain of the loneliness and the heartache and the heartbreak and the grief of childhood. And so we had to learn to protect ourselves, and we learned various ways of abandoning ourselves in order to protect ourselves from the loneliness and the heartbreak of childhood. We had to do this. We had to do this to survive. Unless you had at least one parent who was incredibly nurturing and was there for all of your feelings and held you through all your heartbreak, you couldn't manage it without learning to protect against it. And so virtually all of us learn to protect against our pain with various forms of self-abandonment. So let's talk about what are the major ways that most of us have learned to abandon ourselves. The first one is that we learn to ignore our feelings by staying up in our head. When you put your focus in your mind, then you're not in your body, and feelings are in the body. They're not in the mind. They're in the body. And so one of the ways that most of us learned as kids to avoid our feelings, to protect against the pain that was too much to handle, is to disconnect from ourselves and ignore our feelings by staying up in our mind. And we learn to focus in our head. We learn to not breathe deeply, not to be present inside our bodies. And in fact, learning to get present in your body is step one of inner bonding. It's a skill that most people don't have unless you have actually practiced it, because We've all practiced staying up in our heads and ignoring our feelings. When I first started doing inner bonding about 26 years ago or so, I was so focused on other people's feelings and protecting myself and giving myself up in various ways. I had no idea what I felt. I didn't even know how to stay inside my body. It took me a long time of practice to be able to stay present inside my body. So most people have to take time and effort to practice staying inside their body. But when you're in your head, you know, it's like if you have a child and the child is crying, but you've got headphones on, you can't hear the child, then you're not going to be able to attend to the child's feelings. Well, it's the same thing on the inner level. Being in your head is like having headphones on. You're not listening for your feelings. And so you're basically abandoning that child inside of you, which is our feeling self. In inner bonding, we call our feeling self the inner child. Other people have different definitions, but that's the definition that we use. It's our feeling self. So the second way that many people abandon themselves is that they judge themselves. You know, if I could have a raise of hands of all of you that are on the call and ask how many of you judge yourselves, the chances are most of you would raise your hands, because we've all learned to do this. We've learned to be very harsh judges. We were judged, most of us were judged by our parents, by our teachers, by friends, by siblings, by the media in different ways. And so at some point we learn to judge ourselves, and judge ourselves fairly harshly. Many, many people learn to shame themselves, blame themselves, call themselves names, put themselves down, tell themselves that they're not good enough, that they'll never be good enough, that they're a failure, that they're a loser, that they're ugly, that they're too fat, they're too skinny, whatever it is. I mean, we could go on and on and on with the judgments that we have towards ourselves. But just as if you have an actual child and you're constantly judging that child is going to feel very abandoned and unloved. The same thing happens on the inner level. When we judge ourselves, this is a very profound form of self-abandonment, and it causes a lot of pain inside. And so often we think that the pain that we're feeling is external, but really it's coming from our own self-abandonment. And very often when we judge ourselves, we then project out onto other people, and we think that other people are judging us, and then we do all kinds of things to try to avoid that, when what's really happening is we're judging ourselves and projecting that out. And now the third form of self-abandonment is we turn to various addictions. So here we ignore our feelings, we judge ourselves, which creates a lot of inner pain, a lot of anxiety and depression and guilt and shame, and then because we don't want to feel those feelings, we turn to various addictions. We turn to food, we turn to drugs or alcohol or activities, all kinds of things to avoid feeling the feelings. Now, we're avoiding two kinds of feelings. There's two kinds of feelings. There's what we call the core feelings, which is what I was talking about before, the loneliness, the heartache, the heartbreak. These are the feelings of life. And then there's the wounded feelings, and these are the feelings that we cause. This is the anxiety and depression and the guilt and the shame and the anger and the jealousy and the envy. And these feelings we cause by our own self-abandonment, by the things we tell ourselves, the judgments, the lies, the ignoring of our feelings. We cause these wounded feelings, and then, because we don't want to feel them, we turn to various addictions to numb out even further. So we've numbed out by staying in our head. We judge ourselves, which hurts us. We then don't want to feel that pain, so we numb out with various addictions, which is another major form of self-abandonment. And finally, we abandon ourselves by making other people responsible for us. That's like if you had a child, and instead of you wanting to take care of that child and raise the child, you kept looking around for somebody else. Hey, do you want this child? Would you take care of this child? Would you love this child? that child would end up feeling very abandoned. But that's what so many of us have learned to do. We become codependent, which means that we're dependent on somebody else for our definition of ourselves, somebody else to make us feel loved and lovable. And so we look around to try and find somebody to take care of us, to love us, to value us, to validate us. And then we have to try and control them. And we control them maybe with anger or blame. We control them with compliance, giving ourselves up, shutting down, withdrawing our love. We've got a lot of ways that we learn to try and control other people, guilt them, make them afraid, so that they will give us the love that we're not giving ourselves. And, of course, this creates huge relationship problems. As I've said many times, we attract people at our common level of woundedness, so the degree to which we're abandoning ourselves is the degree to which another person is likely abandoning him or herself. And so then two people get together, abandoning themselves, and hope that the other person is going to fill them up and make them feel worthy and make them feel lovable. And, of course, that's not going to happen. That's why it's so important to learn and practice the inner bonding process, so that you learn to take loving care of yourself, fill yourself up with love, so that you have that love to share with somebody, rather than just going into a relationship to try and have control over getting love. So our feelings of anxiety and depression, of shame, of insecurity, of anger, these feelings let us know that we're abandoning ourselves. The feelings, all feelings are informational. Our feelings of loneliness may be letting us know that we're not connecting with somebody, or they're not connecting with us, or we need to reach out. Feelings of heartbreak may be letting us know that somebody is treating us very badly. But our feelings of these wounded feelings of anxiety and depression and guilt and shame and insecurity, anger, these feelings are our inner guidance system letting us know that we're abandoning ourselves, that we're in what we call in inner bonding the wounded self rather than the loving adult. And the wounded self is that part of us that has learned to protect, learned to control, learned to self-abandon, to try and feel safe from the deeper core feelings of the loneliness and the heartbreak. So this is basically where people are when I start working with them. They come in a self-abandoned state. They come with a lot of pain and unhappiness or relationship problems or addictions. And that's when they become motivated to learn how to take responsibility for themselves. And that's what the practice of inner bonding is about. It's a practice of learning how to love yourself rather than continue to abandon yourself. So I know some of you listening practice inner bonding, and some of you may not. And so I'm going to briefly go through the inner bonding process just to give you an idea of why this is so powerful in terms of healing the self-abandonment and learning how to be loving to yourself. So as I said before, step one of inner bonding is learning to stay present in your body with your feelings and wanting responsibility for those feelings. And that means that you want responsibility for how you're treating yourself and what you're telling yourself that's causing the wounded feelings, and you want responsibility for learning from and nurturing and taking loving action in behalf of the core feelings. So we, in step one, we decide we want responsibility for all of our feelings. In step two, we move into the conscious decision to learn rather than to continue to abandon ourselves, to learn about our beliefs, our fears, learn about what's happening with somebody else, learn about how we're treating ourselves, but we want to learn rather than continue to abandon ourselves. And step three is a dialogue process where we're dialoguing with ourselves to try and understand how are we treating ourselves, what are we telling ourselves that's causing the wounded feelings, what's happening externally with an event or a person that's causing the core feelings. And this is a very deep form of inquiry where we're really exploring our belief system, our behavior, what's happening between us and another person. It's a very deep process. And step four, then, is turning to a source of spiritual guidance. And we teach people in inner bonding to connect with a higher source of guidance, which can be their higher self or a spirit guide or God or whatever it is for them. But it's your higher mind. It's not your programmed, wounded ego mind. It's the higher mind that holds the truth and knows the loving action towards yourself. And so in step four, we're saying, well, what is the truth about these beliefs? And what is the loving action that I can take towards myself? And step five is we take that loving action. And step six, we tune back in to see how we're feeling as a result of taking the loving action rather than continuing to abandon ourselves. So this is a very, very powerful process. And I'm going to take some time during this webinar to work with a couple people on the phone who would like to work with me, and you'll get a little sense of the inner bonding process. But it's a very powerful roadmap that if you learn it and you practice it, and those of you that are on the call for the first time, you can go to innerbonding.com and click on our free course and take our 7-day free e-course and begin to learn the inner bonding process. It's an easy process to understand. It's a simple process, but it is not easy to do. Like anything worthwhile, it takes practice, a lot of practice. But the more you practice this process, the more you learn to stop abandoning yourself and start loving yourself. So I'm going to talk for a couple minutes, as I said, about some of the things that we have available to help you learn the inner bonding process and help you learn to stop abandoning yourself. We have an intimate relationship toolbox, a 12-week e-course, and the first 2 weeks are free. You can find this out at going to innerbonding.com and clicking on the relationship e-course. We have an incredible software program called SelfQuest, which you can look at selfquest.com. You can also go to innerbonding.com and click on it. And this is a very, very in-depth program that teaches you the inner bonding process. It's an extremely healing program to go through. For people on the call, you can get a 40% discount. The program sells for $1,000, so you can get a 40% discount. If you can't afford that, we have, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's option four where you can apply for financial assistance. We want this program to be available to anybody who wants to work through it. So you can apply for option four. We have a membership site, which is on a sliding scale, to enable you to join and get a tremendous amount of support in learning and healing through inner bonding. We have individual and conjoint sessions and phone groups. I do a 6-week phone group. The next 6 weeks are starting tomorrow, but if you're interested, you can call our office at 888-6 Inner Bond and find out about the next 6-week phone group. I do, and other facilitators do 5-day intensives, and these are very, very powerful experiences where 12 of us go away to a retreat center and we do in-depth work and healing. I just completed one last week, and the next one is in April in Colorado, and if you go to our website and click on events, you can find out about that. And as I said, we have the free course. If you go to innerbonding.com and click on free course, you can begin to learn the inner bonding process. And we have free webinars like this every few weeks. We have podcasts, which are a very powerful way of learning inner bonding. And I just completed a 12-week e-course on weight loss. So that's just in beta right now, but if you're interested, you can email me about it and I can give you the link to that. So for any information, you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND and get information. So what I'd like to do now is work with some people. I have many questions that many of you have written in, and I will be happy to answer as many of those as I can. But there may be people online who would like to do a little work with me. It's very safe. You will not get hurt, and you will get an experience of what inner bonding is about. So if you would like to do some work with me, press star 7. All of you are muted right now. Star 7 unmutes you, and star 6 mutes you. So is there anybody on the phone? We have many people on the phone right now. Any of you would like to try a little session with me on the phone right now, press star 7.
Hello?
I hear some people. Yes. Hi, what's your name?
John.
Amber.
Amber. Okay, let's start with Amber, and then we have somebody else after Amber. Okay, Amber, how can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Paul. I'm amazingly grateful for your work. And,
thank you so much, honey. About
6 months ago, and I'm working with it as diligently every single day, and I'm wondering about, I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I keep running into difficulties where she does things that, and I have feelings about them, and I'm not sure how to tell whether it's woundedness or core.
So can you give me a little example of what something she does? And I can help you understand that.
She will make a commitment to me to do something, and whether it's big or little isn't really, small one. She made a commitment to bring me my toothbrush. It wasn't important to her. She didn't do it. I went to the dentist without a toothbrush. Not a big deal to her. To me, it's a big deal.
Right.
But that's like a really stupid example of something
and,
that...
Okay, wait. Let's not judge it. It's not a stupid example.
Okay,
it's just
sorry.
An example. Let's not judge it, honey. So what were the feelings that you had when she did that?
I was angry at her.
Angry,
but
okay.
Below the anger, I'm really sad because I feel like I've not taught her something important.
Okay, so I think there's a number of things to explore for you here, Amber. First of all, the anger is a wounded feeling. It's a cover-up for the sadness. But the sadness also sounds like a wounded feeling because you're judging yourself and you're telling yourself that you did something wrong and in some way it's your fault that she's like this. And so both the anger and the sadness are coming from a wounded place. But I do think that underneath those feelings, underneath that anger and sadness, there is a core feeling. And I'd like you to just breathe in a little deeper. I'd like you to breathe into your heart. And if you weren't to judge yourself for not having taught her something, and you weren't to go to anger, which is a form of control, what would be the feeling there at your need not being important to her? What would be the feeling? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm looking for the feeling.
Okay. Would it be a feeling like heartache or loneliness? Or?
It feels sad, but not like my little girl sad. Sad like...
Sad like what, honey? Are you there?
I'm here, and I'm having a lot of trouble articulating.
Okay, so, let me just help you with this a little bit. My guess is that when she doesn't care about you like that, when she behaves in an uncaring way, there is sadness in your heart, that there's a heaviness, that there's a heartache, there's a lonely feeling that she's not caring about you, and those are core feelings. And those are important feelings for you to open to and embrace and not protect against with your anger and your judgment. And if you were to really acknowledge that this is the case, that at 20, she probably isn't caring about you all that much. I don't think I cared about my mother that much at 20. I think 20-year-olds are fairly self-absorbed. It would be helpful for you not to take it personally, to accept that she is probably not going to care that much, and to not have an expectation at this point of her coming through for you. That's one of the things you can learn if you really open to your loneliness and your heartache, is to stop expecting her to do something that she's likely not going to do. It doesn't mean that you can't express the heartache to her. You can certainly say, you know, it just hurts my heart when I ask you to do something that's important to me, and you don't care about it. It's hurtful. But it's also important for you not to expect her to do things at this point if she's not in a caring space. And that's part of taking responsibility for yourself. Does that make sense to you, Amber?
I missed about 90% of what you just said.
So,
go listen to this on the podcast.
Yes, you can listen to it. You can download it and listen to it. Okay, honey. And
yes,
there was somebody else who wanted to do some work with me?
Yes.
Yes.
My name's Joan.
Joan?
John.
Oh, Joe?
John, J-O-H.
Oh, John. Okay, John, why don't you go ahead? How can I help you?
My problem as it manifests is that I'm not taking proper care of myself at pretty fundamental levels. No outright abuse in terms of alcohol or drugs, but I tend to stay up really late, sometimes all night, even though I have to go to work the next day. And I don't always eat regular meals when I should, or do other things to take care of myself. And it doesn't make me feel good. There's clearly some kind of, without trying to analyze it, but there's clearly a feeling of some part of me, which I presume to be wounded, is just resisting taking even the most basic kind of responsibility for myself. And
right.
As you talked about the self-abandonment earlier in this call, I thought, wow, she's describing me.
Uh-huh.
And I've had periods in the recent past, not last few months, but a year ago, I was working with someone for an extended period who was really helping me to open up to wounded feelings, but he's not available to me for that kind of guidance or work now. And since that time, I have found that I tend to just allow feelings to get sort of locked down. And I'm aware of it in a way that I wasn't before I started working with that guy, but
okay,
there's a part
me,
of me that seems quite content with that. Yeah.
Okay, let me offer you some help here, John.
Thank you.
You know, the fact is we take care of what we value.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you value your car, you take care of your car. And if you value your house,
exactly.
You take care of your house. Right. So we take care
Thank
of what we value.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're not taking care of yourself indicates that there's a lack of valuing of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to be able to force yourself into eating well and force yourself into getting to bed on time and all that. But what you can do, yeah, I'm sure you've tried and you can't. But if you were willing to just start to practice step one of inner bonding, to just start to try and be more conscious of being present in your body,
mm-hmm.
That would begin a process of at least acknowledging yourself, at least acknowledging what's going on inside. And then once you can do that and move on to the six steps of inner bonding, what can happen is that, see, right now you see yourself through the eyes of your wounded self, and through the eyes of your wounded self, you don't have value. And many of us don't think we have value when we see ourselves through the programmed eyes of our wounded self. And these are the eyes of our parents, our teachers, siblings. This is what we learned as we were growing up. We got very programmed to see ourselves as undeserving, as inadequate, as worthless, as unlovable. I mean, all kinds of, you know, not good stuff. As you learn and practice inner bonding, what happens is that you can connect to a higher source of guidance. And that enables you to see yourself for who you really are, to see the beautiful spark of the divine that is your true self. See, the wounded self that's programmed, he thinks that's who you are. And the wounded self in all of us is not a very lovable thing. It's a programmed, manipulative, controlling part of us. We all have this ego, wounded self. But it's not who you are.
Right.
Now, you don't know who you are. Yeah.
Excuse me. I was just going to say that because I have practiced spiritual meditation for many years, there's a sort of dichotomy in here, in that I'm sort of living part with the higher self and the inner guidance and knowing what's right to do at a very basic self-loving level, and then the wounded self sort of battling it out.
And yeah, but the problem is that, see, inner bonding is about developing a loving adult. A lot of people have this dichotomy where you can connect to spirit and you can get these concepts and ideas, but really the wounded self is in charge. And as long as your wounded self is in charge instead of a loving adult, you're not going to take care of yourself.
Right. I do it a little bit every day. It's just that it's not consistent, which is why I describe it as sort of a battle, because it's sort of a...
I understand. But there's something more important to you, you see.
Yes.
And this level of resistance, John, has to do with a deep devotion to not being controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, if we went into your childhood, we could discover why it's so important to you not to be controlled, even by yourself.
That rings
or by
a bell.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as your primary intention is to not be controlled rather than to be loving, and these are the only two choices there are, either your intention is to be loving or your intention is to protect against being controlled, then as long as protecting against being controlled is your primary intention, then nothing can change.
Right.
You see, so until you decide that being loving to yourself and to others is more important to you than whether or not you get controlled by yourself or by spirit or by a parent or whoever it is, nothing can change. And so what you need to struggle with is your intention. You're in charge of your intention. You can choose whether loving. See, for me, I think we're on the planet to evolve in our ability to love. That is why I think we all came here, is to evolve in our ability to love. And so for me personally, being loving is my highest priority. But for you, it's to avoid being controlled. And as long as that's true, nothing's going to change, John. Okay, so I'm going to move on a little bit. I'm going to take a couple questions.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm going to take a couple questions from people who wrote in. This is Elaine, and she says, when two people abandon themselves for the sake of a relationship, and this ultimately tears them apart, is it possible to get back together once the pattern is recognized and broken, if the love is still there? And Elaine, yes, absolutely, 100%, it is possible. I work with this all the time. Most people do get into a relationship and abandon themselves. This is what they've learned to do, and they abandon themselves because they think that's what they have to do for the sake of the relationship. And, of course, it doesn't work. And I work with couples all the time who have been apart, and then they learn to take loving care of themselves, and because the love is still there, they get back together, they create a whole new relationship. Anytime two people who love each other learn to take responsibility for themselves, they can actually repair whatever has gone on in that relationship. So that's the good news. And let's see, Anita asks, I'm on the road of healing from affairs of my husband. I feel like I have just woken from a self-induced coma for the last 13 years. I feel like I completely abandoned who I am, and I'm in search of me after this devastating disclosure. How do I stop myself from abandoning me? So the way that we stop from abandoning is when we're really willing to feel whatever the pain is that you've been avoiding. Like if you've been giving yourself up for your husband all these years, and you've been numbing out and being in a coma all these years, It means that you were avoiding the truth, the brutal truth of what you were feeling all this time. And that's why step one of inner bonding is the willingness to feel your pain and take responsibility for it. And as I said, our feelings are always informational. So pain is always informational. And when you become willing to feel your pain in order to learn, that's when you're going to move out of self-abandonment. That's when you're going to be willing to take responsibility for your feelings. It's really about intention. Now, in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions. Either the intention is to protect against pain, avoid responsibility for it with some form of controlling behavior, or the intention is to learn to love yourself and share that love with others. That's it. Only two intentions in any given moment. Now, intention is not something you decide on once and for all. Intention is something you decide on in any given moment. So in this moment, you can decide that you just don't want to feel the pain, you're going to avoid it, you're going to, you know, have a drink, you're going to smoke a cigarette. That's your intention to protect. Or you can decide in this moment, I truly want to be loving to myself. That's my highest priority. And when that is your highest priority, then the inner bonding process is like magic. So is there anybody else online that would like to work with
you? No, this is Mitch.
Hello, Mitch. Well, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was listening, and the other fellow, you covered a lot of things, but something popped into my mind right now when you were just speaking with the other person. How can you, you're talking about the magic of when you take that intention of love. And it's something I've been struggling with. I mean, I've been depressed. I've had loss, unemployment, et cetera. But now it seems like it's the biggest challenge is how do you just go and turn on love, thinking of love, when there's all that pain and disappointment and things that naturally will distract you.
Yeah, Mitch, part of loving yourself, a major part of loving yourself, is to be able to move into deep compassion for that pain. This is a lot of what the inner bonding process is about, is learning to open to that source of love and compassion and spirit and bring that down inside to all that pain. Yeah, life, there's a lot of pain in life, you know, unfortunately. This is not easy. Life is not easy, and especially for some people, it's really tough. And it's not about ignoring the pain at all, because that would not be loving. So if you think, for example, about a child who comes to you in pain, and if you really want to be loving to the child, you would not ignore that pain. You would not say, oh, well, just go be loving. That's not what you would say to the child. What you would do is you would embrace the child with love and compassion for the child's feelings. You would give comfort. You would be open to learning about what is hurting the child. And you would do all that you could to help the child deal with the pain and to learn what to do about it. And so this is what inner bonding is. It's not about at all ignoring the pain. In fact, it's very, very much the opposite. So I want to encourage you, especially at this time when you're going through some rough stuff, to learn the inner bonding process and learn to move into compassion and a deep intention to learn about loving you. Because I think you're going to be surprised at what happens when you learn to do that. Does that make sense to you?
Sounds good.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there somebody else online that
Hello?
Would like to? Yes?
Hi, this is Christina from California.
Hi, Christina. How can I help you?
This is going to sound really horrible. Well, that's a judgment, but I don't want to be judged for this one. The idea of taking responsibility, even for my own inner child, is like, I don't want to. I get overwhelmed at the thought of even having to be responsible. I had to be so responsible as a kid. I don't want to have any responsibilities whatsoever. The idea of having to be with her 24/7 scares the you-know-what out of me because I can't do that. And even something so simple as cleaning the bathroom is very overwhelming. I get overwhelmed very easily when I don't even know anything past A, B, or C. I get overwhelmed, begin to panic, think that everybody's going to tell
me. Okay, let me ask you something, honey. Let me ask you something. How old do you think the part of you is that doesn't want the responsibility and feels so overwhelmed?
I'm just going to, it's funny, the first thing that I don't know how to explain it. I get thoughts and I hear, feel it, like, I hear like little kid voices talking to me and not like mentally or anything, but the first thing I heard was an infant.
Yeah, so, see, here's the problem is that, you know, you had a lot of responsibility as you were growing up and you were overwhelmed. And it was way too much for you. You were given way too much responsibility too early. So the part of you today that doesn't want responsibility and feels overwhelmed by it is probably not an infant, but probably a young child, probably an adolescent. There's probably lots of ages inside from infancy on up that feel overwhelmed and don't want the responsibility because of what you went through. Now, the thing is that when we take responsibility for ourselves, it has to be from the loving adult part, not from a wounded part. But that loving adult part hasn't been developed in you yet.
That's because, it's funny, I was just going to say that. There is no adult. I feel like I am
a right.
child.
That's right, honey, and that's why you're having such a hard time. Mm-hmm. Because that child can't do it, doesn't want to do it, and it's not her job to do it.
Really?
No, it's not. It was never her job, and it's not her job now. You see, I don't do all that stuff from a child. I connect to my guidance, and I let all that energy from spirit come in and do it through me. But if I had to do it from a child place, I'd hate it. My child doesn't want that responsibility for me, and
I mean,
it's not her job.
It's already enough having to have a disability, and that I don't have a choice. I can't turn that one down, so it's, you know, that one I'm stuck with. There's a lot of other things that I don't want to do.
Honey, I understand. And what I want to encourage you to do is to learn and practice inner bonding so that you can develop a loving adult part of you that actually does want the responsibility and knows how to do it and doesn't feel overwhelmed because of being connected to a higher source. It really is possible to develop that part of you that loves to take responsibility, that finds it a privilege and a joy, but it's not a child part. Does that make sense to you?
I don't have that part in me yet, but yeah.
No, you don't. But that's what practicing inner bonding is about. It's about developing your loving adult self. So I want to encourage you to
learn. Are there any plans to get this kind of stuff in Braille for people with visual disabilities who cannot read print?
Oh, my goodness, that's a really good question.
Or even on audio would be something.
But there's a lot on audio, honey. There's a lot on the website.
Okay.
There's CDs and there's podcasts. There's tons of these webinars. There's just lots of ways that you could learn it through audio.
Okay. Thank you for doing all of this.
Oh, you're very welcome, honey. You take care.
You too.
Okay, I'm going to take one more if there's somebody else online. Is there anybody else online who would like to ask anything? And if not, I got a ton of questions here, and I'm going to ask a question.
Can anybody hear me?
From Arkansas?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Somebody else wants to. Who would like to work?
Hi, Jill here.
Yes, hello, Jill.
What do you do when you start to take loving care of yourself in the relationship, and then your partner perceives it as you abandoning them? Because I was in a relationship, and I totally, over the last few months, transformed how I was taking care of myself. It started eating and exercising and exercising healthier boundaries. And then my girlfriend broke up with me and got very angry and broke up with me in a very angry way. So how do you handle that? What do you do then?
No, that is always a possibility, because when the two of you met, you were probably both fairly codependent. It sounds like you might have been a caretaker. She might have been a taker.
Sure.
And she expected you to give yourself up and take care of her. And that was the rule of the relationship.
And I did.
And, yeah, and so, this is a chance we take when we start to grow, is that the other person might not like it. And I had to face that in my marriage. I had a long marriage of 30 years, and where I gave myself up a tremendous amount, and when I finally decided I couldn't do it anymore because it was killing me, I knew I had to take the risk of losing my marriage, which I really didn't want to do. But looking back, it was the best decision I made, because I was going to die that way. Giving yourself up is a killer. And so he didn't like it. He liked me caretaking him. And so the marriage ended. And I do tell people, look, when you start to take care of yourself, if you're in a codependent relationship and you're with a taker, they might not like it, and that may be the end of the relationship. But in the long run, you're going to be a whole lot happier than continuing to give yourself up. There's nothing you can do if that person isn't going to support you in taking care of yourself and supporting your highest good, then it's not a good relationship anyway, and you have to let it go.
Okay.
So I understand that that's hard, but there's really nothing you can do if somebody is bound and determined to be angry at you for your self-care because they want you to take care of them instead of taking care of yourself. It's just far better to let that relationship go.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Well, I've enjoyed this time with all of you, and I'm going to unmute for a moment so I can say goodnight to all of you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Margaret.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome, everybody, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening, and I'll talk to you again, those of you who will be back, in a few weeks.
Okay.